Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to another online service. So glad you could join us today. It is a hot and steamy day today, but we're glad that wherever you are, you're in a comfortable, air-conditioned environment to study God's Word with us today. So glad you could join us. If you have your Bibles this morning, we would ask you to open them up to James chapter 4, verse 13 through verse 17. We're going to talk about some very interesting verses today, some powerful concepts. You know, we haven't been in restaurants probably for a long time. Most of you probably take takeout food, but one of the most perhaps exciting times when you go to a restaurant, particularly a Chinese restaurant, is when the bill comes. They always bring a fortune cookie to your table as well. Everybody who ordered gets a fortune cookie. I remember recently reading a fortune cookie, because the fortune cookie is something that people anticipate. It's like, maybe there's some great truth here that I can build my life upon, or maybe there's a word here that will come true in my life. Well, there was a fortune cookie that I read recently, and it said, "You will soon be lavishly rewarded for your hard work." And that's a very interesting statement, and for the most part, what people look forward when they open a fortune cookie and read the little statement within its package is there's this anticipation, or there's this kind of like wishing or wanting to know what is going to happen next. What is going to transpire in my life that may propel me into something that is better than what I have now? And people, it's interesting, people do some amazing things in order to perhaps understand or even perhaps try and forecast their future. People do some crazy things in order to kind of find out what may transpire in the future. People look at tea leaves. They perhaps embrace fortune cookies. They go to palm readers or look at horoscopes. There are people who attend conference after conference, seminars on planning and goal setting, on how to prepare better for the future. There are programs on television that try to help perceive what the next thing is going to happen in the business world, or what the stock market is going to do, and how our investments are going to be catapulted into another sphere because we're doing certain things. We're always concerned about what could transpire in the future. What is going to happen in our life? What's going to happen? What next? What is going to take place that will help me in the long run? And so in this passage of James chapter 4, verse 13 through 17, we learn how to make adjustments in life and how to contemplate the future. And basically, these verses this morning that we're going to read help us to discover basically three mistakes that people make as we try to understand the future. But before we look into that, look what James chapter 4, verse 13 says. It says, "Look here, you who say, 'Today and tomorrow we are going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit.'" Now, you may read this verse and you may think to yourself, what is wrong with that? What is wrong with this verse, or where is the mistake? I don't see anything negative in this verse. You know, for the most part, people are simply making plans. Maybe they're entrepreneurs, they're go-getters, they're people who work hard. Maybe they've put a business plan together. They know the when, the what, the where, the why of what is going to transpire. And probably the person that is being described in this verse is very astute, a very knowledgeable person, maybe a person who understands purpose and progress and the place of development in the enterprise. And on top of everything else, the Bible doesn't condemn making a legitimate profit. So what is wrong with this verse, James chapter 4, verse 13? I don't see anything negative about it. But here is what I want to submit to you, is the first mistake that we see here that identifies where people go astray in planning or thinking about the future. The first common mistake that we as people make is that we do not include God in our plans. And if there is one thing that James chapter 4, verse 13 is describing, it is this very truth, that people do not include God in their plans. Now, if you look back at that verse, it says, whatever the plans may have been, there is no mention in verse 13 of God in the entire planning process. Maybe this person knew what they wanted. Maybe they knew how to get there. But what they didn't do, first and foremost, is include God in those plans. Listen, there is nothing wrong with planning or setting up a calendar or having great dreams. There's nothing wrong with establishing goals in your life. But when you forget to include God in the process, you are promoting at that point a attitude of self-sufficiency. I like the prayer of a young African convert who once prayed these words, Lord, you are the needle and I am the thread. Now, take a moment and think about that profound statement of this prayer. Lord, you are the needle and I am the thread. There is a profound, simple, spiritual truth in that prayer. And the profound, simple truth is that if I stay close to God, He will always lead me by His Spirit. You see, my friends, total reliance on God will keep us from becoming frustrated and wondering what God wants me to do. Am I in God's will? But when you are close with God, there is no frustration in wondering what God wants you to do in life. And what James is talking about here in this verse, he's talking about a mindset that is so prevalent in the church and in our society, in our pursuits. And as Christians, the mindset is we cannot forget about God in the process of living life. And it's so easy in the busyness of our pursuits to forget to include God in our planning. So can I submit to you that as a believer, as a follower of Christ, it is easy to forget God in your daily life. I know a lot of people who love the Lord, who love Jesus with all of their heart. But when it comes to their planning, when it comes to their careers, when it comes to their education, or even in their families, there is no mention of God in the process of thinking and planning and developing a concept, a purpose in life. There's no process of God being included in those plans. You know, it is sad to meet someone who may say, I don't believe in God and I don't believe He exists, but it's even sadder to find someone who says, I believe in God, but lives a life as if God doesn't exist. You may say, I believe in God, but God doesn't have any say in your business. You may say, I believe in God, but God doesn't have any say in any kind of endeavors or planning that you make, or the education that maybe you may be pursuing. You may say, I believe in God, but He has no room in your family events. Luke chapter 14, verse 28 says these words, don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? So here's the conclusion. Here's the solution. Here's the solution to the mistake number one that people make. The solution is to include God in your plans. Look what James chapter 4, verse 15 says. What you ought to say is this. Now, you may want to underline this. and circle the word if. If the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Now, that's a very critical and important verse. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, whatever the planning, whatever the endeavor, whatever you are engaged in to pursue, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Now, the most critical word in this verse is the word if. Did you know that life is one big if? In fact, the letters IF, if, is in the middle of life. The letters IF are in the middle of the word life. In other words, life is iffy. The best design plans, the best purposes that we may have thought of, the best design plans of man often fall through. Now, I can tell you this, that I don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. I can make educated guesses. I can plan out my week. But planning, whatever planning happens, if I do it without consideration of God's purposes, without God, all my planning is presumptuous. I don't know if you've heard about a thing called Murphy's Law. Murphy's Law simply says, if things can go wrong, they will. As an example, the greater the value of a piece of carpet, for example, or a piece of rug, the greater the probability that your cat will throw up on it. Or here's another part of Murphy's Law. If you pick up a broken piece of concrete and try to throw it into a vacant yard, adjacent lot, it will hit a tree limb and come right down on the driver's side of your car and smash the windshield. That is Murphy's Law. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1 says, "We gather our thoughts, but the Lord gives the right answer." Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, "We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps." You see, my friends, this is the starting point in facing the future. When we face the future, and we don't know what tomorrow may bring, when we look into what we may be planning, we ought to say, "God, what is it that you want me to do? What is it that you do not want me to do?" And unfortunately, many times people make decisions and they make plans and they engage in action, and then all of a sudden, when things start faltering apart, they become very agitated, and then they almost blame God by saying, "God, how come you're not blessing me?" Well, God wasn't included in the first place. And so whatever endeavors you're pursuing, whatever plans you may be making, let me encourage you to be a person who includes God. Include God first and foremost in all of your endeavors. For hundreds of years, Christians used to write the letters D, as in David, D and V at the end of their letters. So they would sign their name at the end of a letter, and then they would write D, period, V, period, which stood for a Latin phrase, Deo volente, which means the Lord willing. And so those early Christians understood the importance of including God in the future. And James is saying that in this verse. James is saying that in verse 13 and in verse 15. He is saying, it's okay to make plans. It's okay to develop all kinds of strategies. It's okay to have a future in mind. But include God in the process of your considerations. Put God in the midst of your goal setting. Put God in the midst of planning your calendars. Put God in whatever your endeavors may be. Put God there first. Deo volente, the Lord willing. The second common mistake that people often make is that they take life for granted. Look at verse 14 of James chapter 4. It says, "How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, and then it's gone." Now, when I read that verse, there are two things that stand out for me. The first one is this, that life is unpredictable. Look what it says. It says, "How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow?" That is describing the unpredictableness of life. None of us knows what is going to happen today, much less next year. All we can do is make guesses. There could be a war that starts. The economy could absolutely go flat, or it could turn around. There could be a major catastrophe. Your friends could leave you. You could lose your job. A pandemic could start. 6 months ago, nobody knew the impact that COVID-19 would have on our lives. 6 months ago, nobody was even considering the effects of COVID-19. And if there is a lesson that all of us should learn as a result of this pandemic, is that life is unpredictable. There are no assurances. There are no guarantees of success. And we need to realize that we can't presume on tomorrow. That's what James is trying to tell us here in verse 14, that life is unpredictable. And because life is so unpredictable, you and I have two choices to make in this unpredictableness of life. We can be frightened by each and every day and live each and every day in fear, or we can become more dependent upon God. See, unpredictableness forces you and it forces us to trust in God more, since we do not know what is going to happen in life. But there's another thing that I see here in this verse, verse 14 of James chapter 4. Not only is life unpredictable, but life is brief. Did you notice what it says there? It says, "Your life is like a morning fog." Some of your translations may even use the word mist. Your life is like a mist. It rolls in the morning. The fog is in the morning. But by noontime, the fog has been burned off by the sun. That's a description of life. How long are we going to live? No one really knows. In fact, the Bible says in Psalm 103, verse 15 and verse 16, these words: "Our days on earth are like grass, like wildflowers. We bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone, as though we had never been here." Psalm 39, verse 4 and verse 6, look what these words say: "Lord, remind us. Remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath." Did you notice the description of how the Bible describes our life and the brevity of life? The Bible describes our life as a leaf, as withering grass, a fog, a mist, a cloud, a shadow, a vapor, a puff, and then it's gone. You know this. We all know this. But our life is one heartbeat away from eternity. At best, life can be described as short. And so we can never presume. We can't ever presume that we have the rest of our life, because we are not even guaranteed tomorrow. And so in verse 14 of James chapter 4, the Bible is describing for us the unpredictableness of life and the brevity of life. But notice perhaps how people approach life in general. The description is found in Isaiah chapter 56, verse 12. And in my opinion, one of the dumbest, stupidest attitude that is being presented of how people approach life. It says, "Come," they say, "let's get some wine and have a party. Let's all get drunk. Then tomorrow we'll do it again and have an even bigger party." In other words, here is the description. In the brevity of life, in the shortness of life, in the unpredictableness of life. In other words, the description is here that people approach life by living it up. It almost seems like they're trying to live life in a way that they will live forever. The fact is, none of us can presume that tomorrow is going to be the same as today. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, it says, "Don't brag about tomorrow, since you don't know what the day will bring." So the solution to how we should live life, and the solution to this common mistake of mistake number two, taking life for granted, is that we should live life today as if it was our last. The solution, you can see it on the screen, the solution is to live today as it is your last. Live today as if it is your last. In fact, Matthew chapter 6, verse 34 says, "So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." In other words, the plan for the future, plan with the future with God in mind, but take advantage of the present. Can I give you a little nugget of truth? Let me tell you how God wants you to live for the future. Here's some truth. You may want to mark this down. This is how God wants us to live life with regard to the future. You ready? Write this down. Live today in a 24-hour increment. In other words, God wants you to live life in a 24-hour increment. And what I believe the Bible is telling us here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, it's telling us that we are to enjoy life now. Make the most of life right now. Wherever you are, whatever the moment you are in right now, enjoy this moment to the fullest. I like what Spencer Johnson wrote in his book called The Perfect Present. He says these words, "In this present moment, that's all we have. So enjoy this perfect moment." Wherever you are, right now, whatever you are doing right now, stop thinking about tomorrow, stop thinking about this afternoon, stop thinking about what you're going to eat later on, but in this moment, take this moment and enjoy this moment right now. Are you feeling agitated? Are you feeling uptight? Are you paralyzed by panic or worry? No. This is the moment. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice in this moment and be glad in it. You see, this moment that you have right now, because we don't know what tomorrow will hold, this moment that you have right now is God's incredible gift to you. And we need to trust Him in this moment. And when you can trust Him in this moment, you can also trust Him for the next moment and the next moment and the next moment, the next hour, the next 2 hours, the next 3 hours. You can trust Him with every moment of every day. Isn't there a saying, or maybe it's a verse in a song, but I remember this saying. It says, "I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. Perhaps you're familiar with that saying, but that should be a foundational philosophy, mindset that we have in our life. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And here's the third common mistake that I see so often that people make, and that is we procrastinate. We procrastinate. Notice what James chapter 4, verse 17 says. Remember, it is a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. You know, so many times we define sin and we define evil activities as sin, such as murder, adultery, cheating, lying, stealing, gluttony, gossip. Those are the big sins. But here in this verse tells us when we do nothing, it's a sin. Have you ever met people? Have you ever met people, someone perhaps in your sphere of influence, people who say, oh, have always this intention of doing something? They're always aiming to get something done? Or they're always putting something off, putting things off, I'll get to it later? This verse is describing a major part of our human nature. Even though we want to do the right thing, it doesn't mean that we're going to actually get around to doing it. That's the trap of procrastination. Someday, one of these days, I'll get around to it. One of these days, I'm really going to get serious about life. One of these days, I'm going to really start thinking about my spiritual condition. Really, I'm going to really get serious about God. And we never do it because we presume that we have tomorrow. And remember what we said a few moments ago? God says you don't have any guarantees for tomorrow. So the solution to this mistake that we often think about, this mistake that we often do as we are facing the future, is the solution is we need to do things now. We need to do whatever we're going to do. We are going to do it now. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27 and verse 28, and what it says. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it's in your power to help them. Even if you can help them, even if you can help your neighbor now, don't say, come back tomorrow, and then I will help you. If someone comes to you, this verse is saying, if someone comes to you and asks you for a favor, don't say tomorrow or later. In other words, don't procrastinate. Do it now. I like the slogan that Nike has. Some of you wear Nike athletic gear. The slogan of Nike is, just do it. In other words, they're saying, do it now. And that translates into how we should live our life for God. Whatever your intention is to do something for God, do it now. Not next week, not next month, not next year. You're thinking about maybe connecting with somebody. Maybe the Lord has been prompting you to give someone a call, to give an encouraging word with somebody. Or maybe you're thinking about volunteering, or maybe you're thinking about helping somebody in need. Don't think about doing it tomorrow. Do it now. You see, essentially, there are three things that you can do, what you can do with your life. Essentially, there are three things. You can spend your life, you can waste your life, or you can invest your life. Those are the three things that all of us have a choice in engaging. We can spend our life away, and when you watch television and the commercials on television, or the advertisements that come in the mail to your home or on your online, whatever the advertisements and the commercials are, they help you spend your life. Or you can waste your life where you're always trying to, you're putting things off, you're accomplishing, or you're pursuing things such as fame and pleasure, achievements that don't bring lasting results. Thirdly, you can invest your life. Invest in something that is going to outlast you. And Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27 and verse 28 is saying, here is something that you can help that will outlast you. If somebody comes to you and you need to help them, it's an opportunity to invest in their life and to help sustain them. That's what the scriptures are talking about in this moment that you have right now, and you have a presentation of a need. Do something right now that will help somebody else. And in so doing, you are investing in the future for them. We worry about life. We think about the duration of our life. We make plans as if we are going to live a long time. And maybe you're thinking, how long am I going to live? That's what we think about. But God expects us to donate our life. What are you going to do on a daily basis? What are you going to do that will really make your life count? Or are you going to twitter away your moments on the non-essentials of life? Some time ago, I came across this incredible, powerful statement that I'm going to conclude with today. And it was written by Stephen Vincent Bennett. It says these words, "Life is not lost in dying. Life is lost minute by minute, day by dragging day, in all the small, uncaring ways." So let me ask you today, as we wrap up, let me ask you, does God have priority in your planning? Do you have a tendency to take life for granted, and in so doing, you totally disregard the brevity of life and the life that can be so quickly dissipated? What is it that you have been putting off today that the Holy Spirit may be bringing to your memory right now, bringing it into your spirit, bringing it into your remembrance? What is it that you have been putting off that God wants you to step up and do something significant? Let's pray together, and let's ask God to truly embrace us with an understanding of the importance of living in this moment, and to include the wonder and the beauty of what God has presented to us right now. Let us live in this moment with the future in mind, but let us not exclude God from whatever our thoughts and our plans may be. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, help us today not to trust and depend on our own abilities. Lord, help us today to understand the significance of our future. Let us live life where we include you in our planning. Let us understand that life can be extremely brief. And let us not presume that we have tomorrow. Jesus, I pray, may we surrender every aspect of every goal, every ambition, every desire, every date, every calendar planning that we engage in. May we surrender it to you. And if we can help people that you are placing into our mind right now, let us not put it off. But let us engage, for we are not guaranteed tomorrow. I pray your blessing upon all of us, Lord. I pray your blessing upon this entire church family. Wherever we are, may we enjoy the moment, the gift of this moment that you have given to us. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, I pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining us, and hope to see you again next week. And let me remind you that if you ever want to join part of our Bible studies that happen on Wednesday and Friday, you can do so at 9 a.m. each week. Until then, God bless you. Have a beautiful, wonderful rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.